Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be talking a little bit about Tesla stock, which has hit 11-month lows today. Also got updates on the broader automotive market from both Volkswagen and Toyota, some new US registration data, a revised price target for Tesla from an analyst, updates on Giga Shanghai, Solar Roof, and quite a few other things as well. All right, I know not the most exciting thing to look at, but Tesla today finishing down 6.9% to close at $628.16, significantly underperforming the NASDAQ, which was down 2.3%. This is one of those days where you do have the NASDAQ finishing quite a bit lower than the Dow. The Dow actually finished in the green today, and usually when that's happening, that's a rotation out of tech or growth into more value-oriented stocks. So not surprising to see a Tesla underperformance in that environment, but still pretty significant. What seemed to kick this off and actually started yesterday after hours and has been the common refrain today was an updated 8K filing from Snap or Snapchat, announcing that since they had issued their guidance about a month ago, quote, the macroeconomic environment has deteriorated further and faster than anticipated. As a result, we believe it is likely that we will report revenue and adjusted EBITDA below the low end of our Q2 2022 guidance range, end quote. So Snap finished down 43% today. That dragged down a lot of tech. Even Google today was down 5%. So you might wonder the fair question of, okay, well, who really cares about Snapchat? And especially so, why does that matter at all for Tesla? Very different markets here, obviously. Personally, I don't think this is very important, but why the market is reacting to it broadly is because it's an indicator, perhaps, that advertising budgets, which is how Snapchat makes their money, has been cut even more significantly than what may have been expected, which could be a leading indicator of poor business results for those companies that are doing that advertising spending. So you've got that fear, and then you have also a warning for other companies that are relying on advertising spend. So a company like Google or Meta or Twitter, that creates fear that maybe Snap's just kind of beating them to the punch and they're going to have poor results too. So money's going to flow out of there to quote unquote safety, which is more represented in the Dow. And then both of those effects, that's going to punish higher tech, higher growth companies, even those that aren't necessarily directly related. So I'm not saying that there's not anything Tesla specific here happening. Things aren't that obvious most days, but certainly Tesla was not the only stock down 7% today. Couple of other quick things on the stock. So Tesla today did actually hit down 50% from all-time high. And I know that's not an exciting milestone, so it's like, why even bring it up? And I guess the answer there is somewhat twofold. So the first is that it just gives us context. And what I mean by that is that other stocks are not dissimilar from Tesla in that type of performance. Nvidia is down 53% from their 52-week high, AMD down 45%, automakers GM and Ford down 48 and 52% respectively. None of those companies can sit there and try to blame that performance on their CEO trying to buy Twitter or their CEO sitting there in the political spotlight. And there are many companies out there that are in the same boat, many companies that have fared worse, a handful that have performed better, but in that handful that have performed better, most of those are going to be lower price-to-earnings ratio stocks. Honestly, a really good question would be, is there another company that's had a price-to-earnings ratio above 100 that has dropped less than Tesla from all-time high? I don't know, so if anybody can help me with that, please do, but it would not surprise me if not. So it's important context, and then the other aspect, I'll just bring up something that I shared on Twitter today, and that was that I understand this is a very difficult time and thing for many people. A lot of people all in, a lot of people using options or margin as leverage. Sure, we've got a lot of people out there with margin calls. It's hard, it sucks, it's a difficult thing. It's not like my portfolio is looking really nice right now either, but emotion really doesn't have any place in investing. Certainly has a place and influence in how the market reacts to things, but as an investor, your own emotions really should not have an influence. I don't think hiding from numbers like, oh, Tesla's down 50% from all-time high really has any purpose. There's always opportunity, and pointing these things out is part of recognizing that opportunity, or at least spending the time thinking through how to manage through a difficult situation or how to manage through if things get more difficult from here, because that is definitely a possibility. And even if you can't find opportunities here to take advantage of, there's always something to learn. Investing is lifelong learning. Even if that learning is only about yourself and how much risk you're comfortable with, how much emotion really does factor into your investing, nobody else can really figure that out for you. So it's important to recognize, to self-reflect, and to learn from that. Escapism really isn't going to do anything. And while I do think that sometimes tuning things out, like I said, signal versus noise previously, I do think tuning things out can be helpful. There's definitely a right way and a wrong way to go about doing that. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now, but in a way that's just kind of me sharing my own self-reflection because I have to do that every single day with this podcast. I have to remove my emotion, I have to face the facts, and I have to report on those without letting my own situation influence that at all. And I try very actively to do that every single day, day in, day out. I think I've done a pretty good job at that, and I think that mindset, that mentality has definitely been a contributing factor in my strength as a long-term investor. Anyway, hopefully that's at least helpful to a couple people out there. The last couple of things I'll say on the stock here is that this, as I mentioned at the start, is an 11th month low for Tesla, so the lowest since June last year. And just for some perspective, Even though Tesla was lower in June last year, Tesla did hit an all-time high in November. So this year, a very different circumstance, of course, for many reasons, but just a good reminder that things can, and often do, change very quickly. So transitioning into the news and then also wrapping up with the stock, we did have an updated price target today from Daiwa Securities. They did reiterate their outperform rating on the stock. However, they cut their price target from $1,150 before, now to $800 per share. The note cited Shanghai lockdowns, supply chain concerns impacting ramp-up of Berlin and Austin, and they cut their delivery forecast for the year to 1.2 million vehicles from 1.4 million previously, and their earnings per share estimate down to $9.30 from $12 before. So that leads nicely into an update here on Giga Shanghai. As we've been talking about over the last few days, Tesla has been getting set to start a second shift. What I've heard is that that is now scheduled to start tomorrow, Wednesday. So that is very exciting, and this is also really good timing in terms of the information that we're going to get, because in early June, we should get the May production numbers, and we already know the 1st through the 19th, so whatever the remainder of May production is when we get those numbers, it'll give us a really clear picture of how that re-ramp is going. That scenario that we went through yesterday, which, by the way, not necessarily my forecast, again, just running through examples of different things that could happen. People always take those and just say that they're my forecast. Not the case. Anyway, that scenario mapped out about 30,000 total May production, so if Tesla can really get the second shift started tomorrow, we should see a higher number than that. Maybe not by a lot, but hopefully a higher number than that for total May. There is some supporting evidence for the start of the second shift appearing now on social media, so Jay in Shanghai and Kelvin Yang on Twitter sharing out screen caps of some workers getting ready to return that have been shared out on Chinese social media. So we'll continue to monitor the progress here, but I do think that the lockdowns in China have been a huge overhang on the market. It's so impactful to a lot of different companies, and it just exacerbates a lot of the issues that were already occurring in the supply chain. I mean, it's the sole reason that Tesla isn't going to have a phenomenal Q2. So hopefully some improvement there will help ease some of the doom and gloom that we're seeing right now. On a somewhat related note, I wanted to highlight some comments that were made by Volkswagen CEO Herbert Diess. He was speaking to CNBC today, and of course the headline that came out of it was that Diess said that he believes Volkswagen can pass Tesla in terms of electric vehicle sales by 2025. By the way, you ever notice how a lot of those targets that were by 2020 we're going to accomplish X have now become by 2025 we're going to accomplish X? Classic stuff, but anyway, I think Volkswagen has said that before, so that's not really news, but what I found to be interesting from his comments here were his thoughts on the current supply chain situation, which he said, quote, "I would say that we would see an alleviation of this situation towards mid-year, and second half, we should be in better shape, if the situation is not getting any worse, which I don't think so," end quote. Which I'm chuckling here because he really turned that around on itself and made it into a non-statement, saying, "I think it'll get better unless it gets worse." All right. But then CNBC writes, quote, "When asked whether this means he expects the semiconductor crisis could end in the second half of the year, Diess replied, quote, "I wouldn't say end, but we see a much improved situation. I think supply chains are getting in order again," end quote. So plenty of hedging there, and we have certainly heard this story before, but thought it was worth passing along. On the other hand, Toyota today also gave an update on their production, and they announced that they are cutting their production plan for June to approximately 850,000 units. That's about a drop of 100,000. And they say that this is due to parts supply shortages caused, of course, by the lockdowns in Shanghai. They also added that, quote, "The shortage of semiconductors, spread of COVID-19, and other factors are making it difficult to look ahead, but we will continue to make every effort possible to deliver as many vehicles to our customers at the earliest date," end quote. So Toyota's messaging on their outlook, not quite as positive as Volkswagen's. All right, next up, we've got some more registration information for vehicles in the United States in the first quarter. This again coming from Experian, covered here by Inside EVs. This time, the numbers are breaking down the so-called premium or luxury segment, and Tesla is at the top with about 114,000 vehicles registered, 22% share of that segment, up 59% year over year, while every other brand on this list is down year over year, anywhere from 3 to 53%. This segment overall was down 12%, but that includes Tesla being up 59%. So if you just take out Tesla's data from this year and last year, Q1 registrations excluding Tesla fell from about 520,000 last year to 407,000 this year. That's down 22%. So Tesla up 59%, leading market share, all other brands combined down 22%. This is signal. This is the type of data that matters. All right, next up, we've got a minor update here on the solar roof, actually. A listener passed this along, so thanks for that. Tesla has updated their website for the solar roof. There's now an option to view recent installations. They provide some photos for different installs and some statistics on how those roofs performed throughout the year in 2021 in terms of how much energy they generated, the percent of energy consumption that offset, the number of blackouts avoided throughout the year, and of course, the power capacity of the roof. So I know we don't hear a ton about Solar Roof, but kind of cool to see that update. And nice that Tesla's starting to get some real-world performance data that they can start to market a little bit more. All right, next we've got a couple of software-related updates. The first is coming from Green the Only on Twitter, who often, we'll say, uncovers some details around FSD, and he shared on Twitter that apparently as of a few days ago, so presumably with FSD Beta 10.12.1, version 11, or the single-stack FSD, has apparently been deployed in so-called shadow mode. So take that for what it's worth. Even if accurate, that might not mean a whole lot, but it is definitely interesting to hear. The other software-related update that we have is on the mobile app. NotATeslaApp.com has noticed that the latest app, version 4.9, has added information about vehicle recalls into the service section of the mobile app. So that'll definitely be nice to have. You can go in there and see if there are any active recalls for your vehicle, and in the future, Tesla can use that to notify if there are any. All right, last few items for today. First, just an update on that Idra casting stuff that we talked about yesterday. So Idra had actually shared out a different photo as a teaser for this 9,000-ton machine, and that photo had parts in Tesla Red. So we don't know for sure that this is a Tesla machine, but hopefully that is an indicator that it would be. The previous GigaPresses that Idra has shipped to Tesla have been that color. Next, we've got a report from CNBC. They have learned that Gwynne Shotwell, SpaceX's COO and president, sent a company-wide email last week addressing the allegations against Elon. She said, quote, "Personally, I believe the allegations to be false, not because I work for Elon, but because I've worked closely with him for 20 years and have never seen nor heard anything resembling these allegations," end quote. So good to hear her perspective. And then finally today, we have an update on Starlink. Starlink has added a new, I suppose, service offering called Starlink RV. So this is an offering that's intended to be used for traveling, of course. And it says Starlink for RVs provides the ability to pause and unpause service at any time and is billed in 1 month increments, allowing users to customize their service to their individual travel needs. So this is the same hardware, and it's very similar to the portability feature that we had discussed previously. Both of these end up being $135 per month versus just fixed residential service at $110 per month. The advantage for Starlink RV is that you don't need a fixed service address to order it, and service in its entirety can be paused and unpaused at any point in time, with billing in 1 month increments. The downside and some of the differences between Starlink Residential Plus portability is that Starlink for RVs does get deprioritized service in the case that there are network capacity limits. The same happens with Starlink portability, but only if you're not at your fixed residential service address. So only if you're actually using the portability feature. So overall, pretty similar, but some differences that are going to make each better for different use cases. It is also worth noting that this does not mean that Starlink is supported for use in motion yet. Though Elon did note on Twitter that it does work on vehicles in motion, including planes, but not yet reliably, and he said that he's testing it on his own plane, and that it is working quite well, but some polishing still needed. Of course, we had previously talked about Hawaiian Airlines, which will be partnering with Starlink to offer services on their flights. They are expecting to begin that operation next year. All right, that is it for today then. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, May 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.